Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Gets the snap. Back he goes. Steps up in the pocket. He delivers for Belton. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. He dove inside the pylon, and the Nittany Lions, with 9 seconds to go in the opening quarter, get on the board first.
Here's a handoff. Pepper right through the hole. Touchdown, Shekalemi.
Hackenberg's Zwinak left side to the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State. Zach Zwinak with his sixth rushing touchdown of the season. And the Nittany Lions, with 9:26 to go in the opening half, now lead it 13-0. Play action, Reardon delivers. Intercepted! Penn State picks it off. Ryan Kaiser with the interception. He almost had one in the first half, and Kaiser gets one now. And the Nittany Lions quickly turn the table.
Kimberly on the last play. Back to pass. Goes up to the corner of the end zone. Incomplete. Time has expired.
Zwinak walks into the end zone. Touchdown. Penn State, his third touchdown of the day. Zerbe led him home, and the Nittany Lions now lead it 30-0.
Some of the action you heard this weekend on WKOK with a Lewisburg win, 14-7. As Braves had an opportunity to try and send it in overtime on the last play of the game and couldn't get it done. And of course, the Nittany Lions with a big win over Kent State going into the bye week this week. I'm wondering, though, is this going to be Christmas decoration bye week, or if that waits until the next bye week? We'll find out when we're joined by Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors studio. Today's show is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Find out what Purdy can do for you. Visit them online at purdyinsurance.com, or better yet, stop by in person on Market Street in Sunbury and chat with the folks there and find out how they can make sure you're all squared away and your family's in good shape with saving money in the process. Something that doesn't happen very often anymore, does it? Saving money in the process. And from the Sunbury Motors studio, Steve will be joining us. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll take your calls today as well. 800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. You can talk about this weekend's game or talk about basically anything you want in sports. Got some playoff baseball getting ready now, and a lot of divisions were clinched over the weekend. And if you're like me, you can lament on another Steelers loss. Or do what I did and, after about the pick six, where it looked like none of the Steelers wanted to tackle anybody on the Chicago Bears team, you just decided to watch Homeland on DVD and not put yourself through it. So the Steelers don't owe me 9 hours now of my life back, just 7, because I only watched and listened to an hour of coverage over the weekend of the loss to the Bears last night. We'll talk more about that. And again, anything you want to talk about as well after...
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Focus four-door sedan under 5,000 miles, just $14,385. Four-door Nissan Rogue, four-wheel drive, only $15,985. 2012 Kia Forte, $14,559. 2008 Pontiac Torrent, all-wheel drive, $15,954. Beautiful 2009 Lincoln MKZ, $14,995. And a 2010 Kia Soul, five-door wagon, just $12,875.
Call 570-286-7746. All come with a Carfax report
and our lowest price promise.
Pre-auction blowout.
See the
full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Get everybody up to date on what's going on in sports. Some interesting stuff today to talk about. We're going to be talking with someone from yahoosports.com that will be joining us, Frank Schaub. Will be joining us at 4:05. Actually, we're going to have him at 3:35. And then at 4:06, today is Fran Fischer's 90th birthday. And a little quick tribute to Fran in the 4 o'clock hour, which I think people will find enjoyable. Okay? So that's what we're doing. 34-0, they won. Your team is, I mean, your team's comical.
Horrific was the word that kept popping into my head last night.
This is the single most unpredictable season I've seen in the NFL ever, where you look at, there's no doubt that the 49ers are a sure fire. They are going to be in the thick of it, which they eventually will be. But I mean, you're talking about three games, and they're 1-2.
Seven points yesterday.
Not only that, they looked anemic the last two games. Remember that Colin Kaepernick completed 13 passes to Anquan Boldin in the opening game of the season. He has completed a total of 13 passes since. How about that one?
It amazed me yesterday that the weird things that were going on. Well, and this whole season, like you said, has been weird.
But it's across the board. Cleveland trades Trent Richardson, wins the game.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, they get Gordon back, and Gordon's a big plus. They kept saying when they got him back, they're going to be a more competitive team. Well, they got him back yesterday, and they were a more competitive team. The Steelers are 0-3. The Giants are 0-3 and got blown out of Carolina. There was no way on the planet I thought they would, A, lose the game to Carolina, let alone get blown out, let alone get shut out. And that game was not even close. Carolina totally controlled them. You have, at this stage, you know, certain teams like New England's 3-0. Is it an impressive 3-0? No, but it's 3-0, which in today's NFL is remarkable.
3-0 Miami looks pretty good.
Yeah, Miami wins again. They beat Atlanta. Atlanta's a good football team. And the NFL has right now a craziness and an unpredictability about it that I think is both good and bad. I mean, you look at the Steelers and the Giants, you're talking about two long-term, long-time franchises that have stable ownership, have a way of doing business, which is the NFL model, that both have been in the thick of it for decades now. Steelers longer than the Giants in terms of being in the thick of it, but really starting in the early 80s, the Giants have been consistently over the last 30 years somewhere in the neighborhood. The Steelers for 40 years have always been somewhere in the neighborhood. Right now, the two of them are, I mean, the suburbs look far away.
They're in the rural area.
And it's amazing how that's happened. There's only one bad team in the NFL, and they play their guts out. You watch Jacksonville play. Jacksonville does not have a lot of talent, especially on offense, and they get beat, sometimes badly, but they play hard. Gus Bradley has them playing hard. They need to upgrade, obviously, and they're going to have the draft to do that. But that's the only bad team in the league right now. That's a legitimately bad team.
Tom Coughlin has to be sitting there going, really? Do I need this in my career right now?
This is the first time since 2004 that Tom Coughlin will not start a season 5-2. How remarkable is that consistency?
I mean, he's got to sit back wondering if it's time to just watch football for a while. Well, I'm not saying the problem is him.
In all honesty, the worst thing anybody does, and what happens in a week-by-week situation or in a 24-hour cycle is the amount of mass panic that happens. Oh, hey, you know what? You had 16 weeks. Let's see how it plays out. That's one thing you'd find out, especially in the NFL. They really kind of like boom and get behind pretty fast.
Well, the London game has lost a little bit of its luster.
The London game shouldn't even be played.
They definitely should be playing it in London.
No, but I'm saying I don't like the London game. I've never liked the London game.
Not in the middle of the season like this. I don't like that either.
First of all, the Vikings lose a home game. Why should the fans of Minnesota lose a home game?
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great point. All it means is your season tickets are going to be one home game cheaper.
Because you want to expand to London? Why do you want to expand? You don't want to. The NFL is the one group that doesn't have to expand. 32 is fine. Leave it there. It works.
I can see all the promotion for this game now this week. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's going to break into the W column.
Well, what's interesting is that when you look at the Steelers, I mean, they finally did score some points, but they gave up 40.
Well, they've been outscored by 34 points so far this year.
Mm-hmm. It's not good.
They have four touchdowns. Four. The Vikings have been outscored by only 15 points and have nine touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know what the problem is in Pittsburgh. I really, truly believe I know what the problem is in Pittsburgh. And you can lose a center, and that doesn't make the offensive line disastrous. You can have a running back issue, but they've got enough running backs. You'd think somebody would be able to step up and make a play. I think you have to look at Todd Haley at this point.
Well, that's where a lot of people are looking. And that'll be something we'll talk about in the next few moments here when we get our guest in from YahooSports.com, who writes a weekly NFL blog. Very much in touch. Enjoy talking with him. And we go to Rick in Montoursville. Hi, Rick. Thank you for waiting, and you're on the show.
Well, I kind of disagree about the London game because I'm going to go to it here in about 2 days.
Then you're all for it.
I'm all for it, but I just wish it was a couple better teams going to play. It's the first time I've ever seen an NFL game in my life, and I'm going to see it overseas. But the two teams I'm not too pleased about. But so I'm kind of happy, and my daughter lives over there, so maybe we'll catch more games in the future. Now, I'm excited about the Penn State game next year over in Ireland. Yeah, Ireland.
Dublin. Yep.
Dublin, I'm sorry. And so I'm looking forward to that, too. But I'm gonna go with the football game in England.
Well, you know, you're gonna have to call back next week after the jet lag is taken care of and let us know what the atmosphere is like, because that's what I'm going to be interested to hear about.
All right, I can do that.
I look forward to hearing that. And I'm glad you're going. I think it's great for you going. I really do. But as a general rule, no. I'm still against the London game. I'm glad he's going, and I think that's great he's going and that his daughter lives over there. But play a preseason game there. You know, not a regular season game. Don't take it off somebody's season ticket plan.
I just think it's tough on the teams too to try and do that in the middle of the week. Now I know the Steelers have a bye week coming, but couldn't they play it off of the bye week? I don't know which is better, if it's coming out of a bye week or going into one.
No. You want to have the bye week after.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You want to have it after. So,
having never traveled out of the area, out of the country, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize Ithaca was a big trip for you. Yeah.
It's a long day.
Oh, boy. Frank Schwab from Yahoo.com, who writes the column Shutdown Corner, is going to join us in the next half hour. We're also going to have our tribute to Fran Fischer on his 90th birthday, which is today, which I hope you'll enjoy. That's all coming up. But first, shows today is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And to our friend in Montoursville, I'm thrilled you're going to the NFL game. I'm thrilled it's your first NFL game. As a general rule, I don't like the NFL playing regular season games in London.
I wish it was a team that actually won an NFL game this year that you were going to see.
Yeah, that's not exactly the flagship of the fleet of games.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, good nobbin. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Filling in for Mariano Rivera, I'm Steve Jones. Talk about the game in a little bit. How many Steeler questions you want me to ask Frank Schwab?
Just one. How many days does Haley have left?
All right, well, let's see if we get to it. Frank, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, what's going on?
If I knew, I would do it and not ask you.
That's a good point.
So, Frank, what's going on?
Not much. Just this NFL season. I'm based on Denver, getting ready to hit that game tonight, which hopefully will be a little more entertaining than I'm planning on it. But it's the NFL. It's always lively.
Yeah, and maybe as lively as we've seen this past weekend, the way Tennessee came back, the way Cincinnati came back despite the turnovers, the way Miami came back, the Browns somehow won. I guess there's a parade today in Cleveland. But your thoughts on how close the games were over the weekend?
You know, I just think that that's the NFL now. If you look, you know, I do power rankings for Shutdown Corner every Tuesday, and one of the things I always struggle with is every team is about the same. You got maybe three, four good teams. You got one really, really bad team down in Florida. And the rest from, I don't know, 6 to 29 are not that much different. There's just, you know, you might put the Giants at 27 or 28 this week, and if they played the – you know, whoever you want to throw out there, you know, if they played the New Orleans Saints tomorrow, I mean, would you be shocked if the Giants won? I mean, probably not. It's just every game in the NFL, a lot of games anyway, come down to one play. What break did you get? You know, in Cincinnati yesterday, one of the teams you brought up, they recover that fumble, and I think it was Randall Cobb caused Cincinnati to fumble, and Terrence Newman of the Bengals just happens to be running and ball bounces right up to him and he takes it to the house for the game-winning touchdown. I mean, what if that bounce goes a little different? That seems to be every NFL game now, and that's why we love the sport, because everybody's good except Jacksonville, and all these games really just come down to the wire.
And Jacksonville plays its guts out. I mean, you know, if you watch Jacksonville play, they don't have talent, especially on offense,
right. But
they play really hard.
Yeah, I don't think that they've quit or anything. They're just really, really bad team right now. I mean, that can get better. I mean, I think Gus Bradley's your coach, and that's the beauty of the NFL is it's not like baseball at the salary cap or NBA where you need a superstar to win. Everybody in the NFL can turn it around in a year or two.
Yeah, no question about that. Now, let's take a look. The fans around here want to know, what does he think about the Steelers? So, Frank, what do you think about the Steelers?
You know, that's the thing. They came out sloppy yesterday. They weren't very good. And I think that's a proud franchise, and it's just tough to watch them right now. And honestly, I mean, I know this is easy, and I know this is just kind of piling on, but I think Todd Haley's time has come. I think that they need to make a change. I think the players aren't responding to him. I think his offense doesn't fit what they do well. I just think that that's a combustible mix of personalities in many ways. I just think that that's one change that they need to make. I just don't think Todd Haley's working out in Pittsburgh. That's not their only problem. They have many, many problems, including can't block anybody. They have no running game. They have a lot of injuries. They lost a lot of guys. But I think the one thing you can change is that Todd Haley probably shouldn't be calling the plays anymore.
The average age of that defense is 29, which is the oldest unit of any unit in the NFL. How much retooling is actually needed over there? Statistically, they were number one last year, but intangible-wise, they were in the bottom 10 last year in terms of being able to create something.
Yeah, and I think you are getting to a point with that defense. There's some youth there, I guess. There's, you know, guys like Timmons aren't that old. But Jarvis Jones, I think, is going to be a good player in time.
Yes.
And, you know, you've kind of seen them start to retool, and they have to. They're going to have an influx of talent. And I don't have a hold it against them that they kind of said, let's bring this group back together. We still have a window where we could be a very good team if everything goes right. Let's go for it this year still. It just didn't work out. I mean, especially now, you're really in a hole in Pittsburgh. And, yeah, I think you're going to have to – it's not that easy to find a new Troy Polamalu. It's not that easy to replace some of these guys, Brett Kiesel and guys like that. But I think it's time that, you know, they're going to have to ask some very, very tough questions this offseason and see what direction they want to go.
The Philadelphia Eagles, in the first half of the opening game, ran 53 plays. And the world, of course, was – oh, Chip Kelly, look at this. Well, they're at the point now where they're running an average amount of plays like anybody else, if not fewer in some ways. Where are they right now?
You know, I think that they're fine. I think that many of the same reasons they're losing now are the same reasons they lost last year. You know, their defenses are very good.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of mistakes still. You know, I think Chip Kelly's fine. I think people are overreacting a little bit to what has kind of happened in the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, you know, they scored 30 points against the Chargers and had, I think, well over 400 yards. Michael Vick looked great. Then they come back and they're playing their third game in 11 days. They're playing on a Thursday. They just have one of those nights. They're kind of off. I think Kansas City was really, really excited for Andy Reid. I'm not going to sit here and say Chip Kelly's offense doesn't work because they had a bad Thursday night game against Kansas City.
I think that
roster, too, needs a lot of work. They need some defensive talent. I think that they need some talented receiver. They don't have a lot of that outside of DeSean Jackson. I don't think it's Chip Kelly and his offense that's a problem. I think that's just fine. I just think that same reasons Andy Reid struggled last year, the same reasons Chip Kelly's struggling right now, and they're 1-2.
And again, I think what Chip Kelly wants to do is marvelous, and it's fun for the game. I think it's great for the game. The downside is if you don't execute it, your defense is on the field a long time. And, you know, it comes down to execution.
And you wonder if that can really sustain in the long term. I think the last 2 weeks they've been under 20 minutes in time of possession in each game or somewhere around that. Yeah, it's tough to imagine an NFL team holding up over 16 games with that kind of workload.
Right. Colin Kaepernick last year, with his ability to run the read option and what he did in the playoff game against the Packers with his ability to get to the edge, you know darn well that coordinators spend a lot of time in the offseason saying, okay, how can we take that away? So Kaepernick plays Indianapolis yesterday. They bottled him up pretty well. That's not Seattle's defense. That was Indianapolis's defense, which is pretty good. But what are teams doing now to make sure that the read option, while as trendy and hot as it was last year, is not as much of a factor this time around?
You know, I think they're just challenging Kaepernick to make throws and to be a quarterback. And I don't think, you know, he's got incredible physical gifts, maybe as much as any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he's got a cannon of an arm and obviously can run for days, but he's not a quarterback yet. You compare him, and I did today in our winners and losers post to Russell Wilson. And, you know, Russell Wilson's a quarterback. Well, Russell Wilson can go through his progressions, and Russell Wilson can buy time in the pocket by scrambling instead of just designed runs. He does that very well. I don't think Colin Kaepernick's there yet. Now, he can get there. He's still young. We forget, this guy has, what do we have now, about 12 starts in his career?
Yes.
He's still got a long way to go in his development and his maturation, but he's not there yet. He's not a guy that can make reads. He kind of locks in on one receiver, and if he's not open, if they cover Anquan Boldin, basically, he's just got no other options, and he gets a little nervous in the pocket. And, you know, he's got time to develop. He's got time to get better, but he's not there as a quarterback yet. And I think teams are just making him be a quarterback. They know that he doesn't do well when he has to go to a second, third read. And, you know, if you take some things away from him, I don't think he has that counterpunch, like I said, like another young quarterback, like a Russell Wilson. Like Andrew Luck is very good at that. I think that he still needs to mature. The bandwagon got a little bit full on Colin Kaepernick after the playoffs. And he played great. I'm not taking anything away from him. But I still think he needs to make some steps in his NFL career to be that complete player.
How much are the Seattle Seahawks currently helped by what they did in the offseason flexibility-wise, by the fact that they have to pay their quarterback far, 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 far less than anybody else has to pay their quarterback?
It's It's, you know, and that's why you can't blame any team, even the Raiders, who picked Tyler Wilson in the fourth round. He didn't work out. I mean, he's on our practice squad now. But you can't blame them for the pick because Seattle hit the lottery. I mean, Seattle is paying Russell Wilson, I believe, the average somewhere south of $700,000 a year. And that'll, you know, the paycheck will come due, and they'll pay him. But right now, it gives you such a ridiculous flexibility, like you said, in your salary cap. And what you could pay a Percy Harvin, who, you know, I mean, hasn't played yet, but he will, or Cliff Averill, who's a great defensive end. You know, it's one of those things. I think there's the fact that the stat is there are 19 quarterbacks in the NFL that make 10 times more per year than Russell Wilson makes. It's just unbelievable to when you hit a guy like that. And that's why I've banged on the Jacksonville Jaguars over and over and over. They picked a punter five picks before Russell Wilson. That's inconceivable to me. If you know you have Blaine Gabbert, yeah, Seattle hit the jackpot. It gave their franchise hope. It gave them a championship window, and it was one of the better. We're going to look back on that as one of the better draft picks that anybody has made in the last, probably since, you know, Tom Brady went number 199.
I can tell you two guys that beat the Russell Wilson drum repeatedly when we saw him play in person, but then also when it came down to draft him. Jack Ham and I talked about him, saying whoever gets him has got a real steal. You could just see he may only be 5'11", but he's a 5'11 that knows how to play the position of quarterback and is far more athletic than people realize.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a Wisconsin alum, so I've been watching Russell Wilson, too. And, you know, he's just one of those guys that understands the position so well. If he was 6'4", he would have been, the third pick of the draft?
Sure, he would have.
I don't see teams why you would pass on him. The Broncos out here, who have done just about everything right, picked Brock Osweiler over Russell Wilson. Now, Brock Osweiler is the big kid from Arizona State.
Right.
And literally, Brock Osweiler does one thing better than Russell Wilson. And that's that he's 6'7 instead of 5'11. That's it. That's the entire list. Russell Wilson does everything else better. You just don't pass a guy like Russell Wilson because he doesn't match the height you think you need in the NFL. If guys can play, they can play.
Steelers play Minnesota in London. What is your feeling about the Wembley games?
Oh, you know, I don't think they're necessary because
agreed.
I think it's one of those. I think it's one. You know, the NFL is trying to expand, but why do you need to expand? You're making $9 billion a year or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it adds a dimension of unfair competitive advantage for somebody. I mean, that's somebody's home game. You know, I mean, somebody's getting 7 home games. They got to travel all that way, and it's not an easy travel. I think that takes a little bit out of you during the season. I just don't. And for what? What benefit are you gaining? Are you really gaining that much of a foothold in Europe just to have that one game a year? And you're talking about moving a team there for, you know, have that be their home base. I don't think any team wants to make that travel. You know, have that 8 times a year travel. I don't know how you ever would lure a free agent to go play in London. I think it's misguided. I kind of understand what they're doing. I don't think that they need to do it. The NFL's already at a peak where it just runs the entire sporting world. So I just think it's kind of an unnecessary thing by the NFL.
What makes your job fun right now?
Everything. God, the NFL is just, it's always going. There's always something interesting going on. That's the beauty of it. When you're really, you know, writing about 32 teams and just these great players we got. You know, I think the best part of the league right now, and it's simple, but it's the best part, I believe, is the quarterback play. We're seeing, it's kind of like I'm reminded of, like, in 1992, the Dream Team era, when you had the old guard still around, but the young guys were coming up too. It seems that way with quarterback. You still got Rodgers, you still got Brady. Manning's unbelievable, but you got these young guys, Luck, Wilson, RG3, Cam Newton, and that's what makes it fun is that I don't think quarterback play has ever been better in the NFL. I don't even think it's close.
I think you're right. I think they hit the jackpot. The last couple of drafts have allowed them to put an infusion of talent at the most critical position at just the right moment. They needed it with their $9 billion business.
And you look, and it's just, I mean, I don't think we've ever gone this deep at quarterback. You look, and some of the guys, you know, Joe Flacco is kind of an afterthought, and here's a guy who won a Super Bowl last year. He's maybe, what, the 15th, 16th best quarterback in the league? And that's nothing against Joe Flacco. It's just how good quarterbacking is right now.
Yeah, I mean, you go with next Sunday night, it's Ryan against Brady. Not
bad. Yeah, and you got a bunch of games. Like, you got, you know, I mean, yesterday, Kaepernick against Luck. And I know Kaepernick didn't play well, but they're still two of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, and they're both young guys, and they're going to be good for 10 years. It's just grand. You know what? Next year's draft class is really good, too. You got about seven guys that have first-round talent. The problem is there's probably not that many teams that are that desperate for a quarterback right now.
Frank, an absolute pleasure. I hope it's the first of many times we have you on. I enjoyed it very much.
Sure, sounds good.
All right. Appreciate it. Frank Schwab from YahooSports.com. He writes Shutdown Corner. He's the NFL blogger. He feels the same way about Todd Haley you do, except with less vigor.
He's got one more game, and I think then something has to be done somewhere to improve this team. And like I said, one injury on the offensive line and one injury to a running back does not make this team offensively embarrassing as they are right now.
Let me tell you one of the keys to Todd Haley's success when he was with the Arizona Cardinals and what's holding him back from having success with the Steelers. Kurt Warner, when he was with the Arizona Cardinals, the release of the football and the plays that they ran in the Todd Haley offense were usually between 1.7 and 2.9 seconds. Very hard to blitz a guy like that. And that's how Kurt Warner played. Oh, sure, he'd throw a deep ball to Larry Fitzgerald. And let's face it, that Arizona Cardinals offense has far more talent than this offense does. Warner, Bolden, Fitzgerald, Steve Breston was the third. No offense, that's more talent.
No question.
Okay, that's more talent. Of course, the Steelers beat them in the Super Bowl when the Arizona Cardinals made it to the Super Bowl. I can't believe I've said that sentence. I never thought in my lifetime I'd say that sentence. But he has a quarterback now that holds the football and has always held the football. That's not his kind of quarterback. That is a success in his offense. What he wants to do does not match the quarterback he has.
But who has to make the change? I mean, to me, I think it's the offensive coordinator that has to make the adjustment in his offense to fit what he has on the field.
Oh, I agree. You have a quarterback that's won two Super Bowls and has success in the style he has. You have to make some adaptations in your style to fit what the talent of the people happen to be around you. You can't be forcing square pegs round holes. You can't be doing that. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Our tribute to Fran Fischer coming up in the next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, typical Lauren Crispo, who does a great job for us on the sideline. That poor guy, we sent him out there and came back looking like a drowned dog.
He has to really get combat pay for that almost. That was, ugh.
Well, he looked at me, he said, at one point, he said, I couldn't stop laughing at one point. I said, why is that? I said, you came down to me, and he said, we just got a note from Learfield. They want to know, is the equipment okay?
That's a great feeling, isn't it?
Which, of course, it's not true they didn't do that, but... Had to do the little corporate joke in there while he's out there drowning.
Oh, that would be funny.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, we had the same type of rain in Ithaca. It started about midway through, I think it was the first quarter, and it was a, as I described many times during the game, a teeming rainstorm where the rain would change directions from time to time. Our sideline reporter, Ryan Unger, smartly had a change of clothes. And being the one sitting next to him on the ride back, I was really glad he brought that change of clothes with him.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
He came up at halftime, I'm like, you're dripping all over my papers.
he came back, and I was like, I said, I can't believe it. Because I said to him in the pregame, I said, look, I said, this is a good day for you to, you know, be out among the people. He said, what do you mean? I said, go to the club section. I said, see what it's like at the club. Go up to the luxury seat. See what it's like up there. I said, go to the student section under the overhang. See what it's like there. Just give us a report from each spot. It said, stay dry.
I felt bad for the folks at games on Saturday. I mean, that's diehard fans. And
it's unbelievable. The fans were, I wanted to give the fans the player of the game after the game, the PNC player of the game. I said,
well deserved.
Because it was well deserved. I mean, and one quick thing, some people have been, everybody's heard, I guess, there's some talk about a bridge loan and things like that. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But somebody said, if they're going to do that, I said, then why do we need $10 million scoreboards? I said, no. I said, look, I said, if I'm athletic director, I said, that's an absolute. And they said, well, then people looked at me. They said, why? I said, because it's investing in you, the fan. You need to have that in this stadium to enhance your experience, especially now with replays being shown in the stadium that they're looking at the booth. You, the fan, should be able to see what they're seeing upstairs in complete clarity. I said, you know, I said, to me, that is a $10 million long-term investment. I mean, that would be one of the first things that would not go in my budget.